Welcome to the Light of the World. This is Jerry G. Martin. We are coming up on the most holiest of days that is celebrated by Christian believers. It is the time that we celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're going to present you a series of messages that will help you to understand what Jesus Christ did, but more importantly, why he did it. It was to offer sinful people eternal life. I want you to listen closely and even contact someone in your family who needs to know the gospel of Jesus Christ. At the end of today's message, we're going to share an opportunity for you or anyone you know to come to know Jesus. Come and go with us as we walk in the light of God's Word.
The blood of all of those lambs could not cleanse a single sin or a single sinner. In Hebrews chapter 10, the writer of Hebrews said this: day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifice, which can never take away sin. But when this priest, talking about Jesus, was offered for all time one sacrifice for sin, he sat down at the right hand of God. This priest, Jesus, offered himself as a sacrifice. Now we have Jesus celebrating the Passover, knowing that he himself is the Passover lamb. He's celebrating it. He's going to be sacrificed. Paul put it this way in 1 Corinthians 5:7: for Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Jesus knew that when he was at that dinner that night. I'm telling you, I was reading about that night in all the Gospels. There was some stuff going on that night. Now, think about this now. You know, we have a penal system that sometimes will condemn a person to the death penalty, and they will give them a date that they are to be executed. You know, when you got a date and that date gets close, that can really cause you some significant thoughts and what have you. You know that you're going to die. Your date is tomorrow at 6 p.m. You know, they start ordering their last meals and writing notes and making preparations and all of those things. Well, the only one in that room that knew that he only had a few hours left was Jesus. Jesus is trying to take care of a lot of business in that room where everybody else is coming together just to eat. Come on, where are we going to eat at? Where are we going to eat? He's saying, this is the Passover, and I am the Lamb. So the scene is set, and the table is set. And I hadn't given much consideration about the events of this particular evening except the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the cup. That's the thing that we normally point out. They sit around the table. He said, this is my body, and this is my blood. Let's eat, drink, and just think about it whenever you come. But the eating of the Passover meal involved a strict, defined sequence. First of all, there was an initial cup of red wine mixed with water and served. Secondly, there was a ceremonial washing of the hands, signifying the need for moral and spiritual cleansing and holiness of heart that preceded the eating of the meal. But we are told shortly after that, the disciples started another dispute among themselves as to which one is going to be the greatest in the kingdom. That's not in the book of Mark. You read it in the book of John. And they said, which one of us are going to be the greatest? Now, Jesus is thinking about, I got to go to the cross. You can know that you're going to be executed. But if you're Jesus, you know how you're going to be executed, and you know what it's going to feel like. You know they're going to take me out. They're going to spit on me. You already know that. They're going to beat me down. They're going to talk about me. They're going to drive me through the street. He already know exactly what's going to happen to him. And you said, now what? Which one of y'all are going to be the greatest? So he's sitting there on this holy occasion with disciples who have clean hands now, but they don't have clean hearts. And if I'm Jesus, I'm thinking, now, wait a minute, this is my last night, and I've been working with you all for 3 years, and I'm going to leave everything to you all, and this is what y'all talking about. It just encouraged me as a pastor. Jesus Christ himself was working with them and working miracles and signs and wonders and teaching and laying out all that he could lay out and pour into their lives. And he's getting ready to go. The day before he get ready to go, they say, okay, now, who going to be the greatest, you or me? And Jesus is saying, that's the pastor, that's the apostle, that's the missionary. He's going to reach people, he's going to reach people. Don't look like it now, but they're going to do great things in the kingdom. Ooh, when I look at y'all, I said, ooh, Lord, hallelujah. Y'all going to do great things in the kingdom. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. They didn't look like they were ready. They were still proud, still self-serving, and still ambitious. And it may have been at this time, in John, he says, Jesus rose up and took off his robe and began to wash their feet. This is going on that same night. He said, let me just go on and humble myself, and I'm just going to wash you guys' feet. I want to show you another lesson. So Jesus now is observing this Passover with his disciples, knowing full well that this is going to be the last time he would fellowship with them and the last time he's going to enjoy his time with them. But that was quite a bit of drama still going on. Verse 17 says, when evening came, Jesus arrived at the table while they were reclining at the table eating. He says, I tell you the truth. One of you will betray me. I tell you, it was a lot of stuff going on that night. You got a couple of them arguing about who's going to be the greatest. And Jesus said, if you think that bad, one of y'all going to turn me in. In fact, one of you all who is eating with me. And they were saddened, verse 19 says. And one by one they said, surely not I. Jesus had mentioned his death several times to his disciples, but he never mentioned his betrayal. And it's especially painful for the disciples to hear that Jesus said that the betrayer would be one of you, one of you. How would you feel? You sitting there on your last night, and you sitting there getting ready to have a nice meal, and he said, you know, one of you is going to betray me. The Bible says about Jesus that he was tempted in every way as we are. He can identify with your troubles. He can identify with your hurts. He can identify with your disappointments. He went through that. One of you that I've been hanging out with for 3 years is going to betray me. He had everything happen to him that happened to you. One of you, one of my friends, one of my disciples, one of the people that say you love me, one of the ones that you're looking at me now say, it ain't me. Jesus looked at him and said, it is you. With all the enemies Jesus had, no one was surprised that somebody would betray him. But it was unbelievable that the betrayer would be one of his own group. One by one, they said, and the Martin expanded version, they said, it ain't me. Surely not I. Verse 20, it is one of the 12, Jesus said. It's one of the 12. It's one of y'all. And then he said, one who dips bread into the bowl with me. Now, you would think that would identify him right away, but you have to understand that all of them had dipped into that bowl. See, the Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. He says it's been prophesied already through the ages that somebody is going to betray me. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he has not been born. It's going to be better for you that you have not been born. Matthew pointed out who the betrayer was. Matthew 26, 25. Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, surely not I, Rabbi. Surely not I. Anybody ever told you they wasn't going to hurt you, but they did? Anybody said you can trust me, but you couldn't trust them? Anybody just said, I'll be with you no matter what? And then what came, and they wasn't with you? They disappointed you, but surely not I, Rabbi. And Jesus said, yeah, that's you. I wish I was sitting there that night. But I said, boy, there's a lot of stuff going on around this table. This is what John wrote about that night. John chapter 13, verse 26. Jesus answered, it is the one to whom I give this piece of bread when I've dipped it in the dish. Then dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, son of Simon. As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. Jesus looked at him and said, what you're about to do, do quickly. But no one at the meal understood why Jesus said that to him, since Judas was in charge of the money. Some thought Jesus was telling him to buy what was needed for the feast or to give something to the poor. As soon as Judas had taken the bread, he went out. It was at night. Judas, Satan entered into him, and he went out. As soon as he said, it ain't me, he said, okay, I'm going. After Judas left, and Jesus was along with the 11 faithful disciples, he proceeded to transform this Passover of the old covenant, the old agreement, into the Lord's Supper of the new covenant. This is what he did. Jesus ended this Passover and he instituted this memorial to himself. This new covenant was not going to look back to the lamb in Egypt as a symbol of God's redeeming love and power. Instead, it was Jesus Christ now who was going to be the Lamb of God, who by the shedding of his own blood will take away the sins of the whole world. As I thought about this, I know the disciples and all the Jewish people were so aware of how the blood of the Lamb played the role in their lives and in their history. So as Christians today, we wonder, why are we singing about the blood? Why are we singing about the blood? What's that got to do with it? You know, the old saints used to plead the blood. I mean, the old saints used to plead the blood. Plead the blood. In that meal that night, Jesus terminated the old and inaugurated the new. Verse 22 in Mark 14. While they were eating, Jesus took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take it, this is my body. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many.
This is Jerry G. Martin, and we brought you a message today to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as we are coming toward our Good Friday and Easter celebration, our Resurrection Sunday, I think it is so vital that we share the message of the grace and the goodness, the redemption, and the forgiveness that Jesus Christ brings to every person. I don't know who you are, and I don't know where you are, and I don't know where you are in your walk with the Lord. I want to give you an opportunity, if you do not know Him as your Lord and Savior, to make a decision right now. It was Jesus. He came to seek and to save those who are lost. If you are lost and you feel hopeless or helpless or disconnected in your spiritual life, today is a great opportunity for you just to turn to Christ and invite Him into your heart, invite Him into your life, and He will come in with His divine power and His Spirit, and He will do for you what He's done for me and so many others. He will turn your life around. If you would like us to join you and pray with you and help you to get connected, call us right now at 281-964-1393 and say, I made a decision for Christ. I need to get connected so I can continue to grow. Again, that's 281-964-1393. Jesus Christ came to give you everlasting life, and we will walk that journey out with you. Be sure to call us and then join us for our Easter Sunday service at 10 a.m. at 16161 Old Humble Road, or online at lowcf.org. Now for the light of the world, this is Jerry G. Martin saying, may the Lord our God richly bless you, and we'll be with you again next time.